Welcome to Bible Chapter Every Day. I'm Matthew. Our chapter today is Amos 7. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to have the right motivation, the things that we do, that we would do them for you. Help us to serve you with the talents that you have given to us, the abilities that we have, and not be in it for ourselves. Not looking for what we can gain. We pray this through Jesus. Amen. Amos 7. This is what my Lord Yahweh showed me. And look, he is going to form locusts at the beginning of the sprouting of the second crop. And look, after the mowings of the king. And then, when they finished eating the vegetation of the land, I said, Oh, Lord Yahweh, please forgive. How can Jacob stand because he is small? Yahweh relented concerning this. It will not be, said Yahweh. This is what my Lord Yahweh showed me. And look, my Lord Yahweh was going to call for a legal case with fire, and it devoured the great deep, and it ate up the plots of ground. Then I said, Oh, Lord Yahweh, please stop. How can Jacob stand? Because he is small. Yahweh also relented concerning this. This also will not be, said my Lord Yahweh. This is what he showed me. Behold, my Lord was standing beside a wall, built with a plummet, and a plummet was in his hand. And Yahweh said to me, What do you see, Amos? And I said, A plummet. And my Lord said, Look, I am going to set a plummet in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass them by again. The high places of Isaac shall become desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam the king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to endure all his words. For this Amos has said, Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will certainly go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee to the land of Judah, and earn food there, and prophesy there. But do not prophesy again at Bethel, because this is a sanctuary of a king, and this is a temple of a kingdom. And Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I am not a prophet, and I am not a son of a prophet, but I am a herdsman, and I am one taking care of sycamore trees. And Yahweh took me from following behind the sheep and goats, and Yahweh said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. And so hear the word of Yahweh. You are saying, You must not prophesy against Israel, and you must not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, Your wife will become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters will fall by the sword, and your land will be divided with a line, and you will die in an unclean land, and Israel will surely go into exile from this land. Well, that's the reading. Let's dig in. Chapters 1 and 2 had a repeated phrase of, for three transgressions, and for four. Then chapters 3, 4, and 5 all started with, hear this word. Chapter 5 was a lament for Israel, and chapter 6 continued that lament, starting with the word, alas. The people were proud and enjoying their luxury, but they were going to lose everything. Now, this chapter starts a series of visions. And he calls God, my Lord Yahweh, in this section of the book. Lord is a term for someone in a position of authority. And here, his judgment is the focus. So the first vision is of locusts. We've read about the terrible devastation of locusts in the book of Joel. And back in chapter 4, Yahweh had described some lesser judgments he'd given to Israel to try to turn them back that they had ignored, and it included some locust attacks. But this is apparently a very devastating plague, partly because of its timing. So Amos begs God to stop this plague. It will destroy Israel. So Yahweh agrees that he will not send the locusts. Then his Lord Yahweh sends him a vision of a legal case with fire. This may be a poetic description of a drought, or it may be a judgment like we have never seen. In any case, Amos realizes that this will totally destroy Israel, and he begs God to stop. So Yahweh agrees, this will not happen. And then his Lord Yahweh shows a plumb line, or today we would typically use a level, or even more recently, a laser level. But up until perhaps 100 years ago, it was still common to put a weight on a string to determine what is straight and true. So Israel is like a wall, and the Lord Yahweh will check to see if it is built straight. In other words, he's going to judge them. And like an inspector saying it wasn't built right, it will have to be torn down. Then we have this story where we get to know just a bit more about Amos. Amaziah is a priest of Bethel, and he's not happy with Amos's preaching about the destruction that's coming. Remember, there was a golden calf at Bethel, so Amaziah is probably one of these prophets of the golden calf. And Amos mentioned Bethel negatively several times already. So Amaziah tells the king that Amos is not working toward the national interests, and Amaziah tells Amos to get out and go back to the southern kingdom of Judah. He says Judah will probably like his prophesying better and pay better than the northern kingdom of Israel. But Amos says he isn't a professional prophet. He is not trained as one of the sons of the prophets. We don't know a lot about the sons of the prophets, but we read about them a little bit in the books of Kings. Apparently, people would train under a prophet like Elisha, and they were called sons of the prophets. But Amos was just a regular person working with fig trees and sheep when God called him. This isn't his profession. This is what God told him to do. So Amaziah isn't going to be able to stop him. And then he says he has a message from Yahweh for Amaziah. The coming destruction will affect Amaziah directly and his family directly. And now for a deeper dive. I don't know if you've heard this saying before, but the saying goes, "Only preach if you cannot do anything else." And apparently it's attributed to Charles Spurgeon. Now, it's not the idea that those that can do and those that can't teach. Rather, the idea is that preaching is a calling from God, and you should only do it if it is such a strong calling that you feel you must. I am impressed by people who work a regular job and also preach. My wife's brother preaches, and he also works as a substitute teacher. And I knew a man who preached and also drove a school bus. I think it is valuable to work a regular job for some time, at least before starting into preaching. I'm not such a big fan of the idea of people going to college to learn how to preach and then going right into preaching. How will they relate to the people they're preaching to? Jesus worked a regular job until he started his ministry at around 30. Paul worked making tents when he didn't have donations coming in, and in fact, he often refused donations and just burned the candle at both ends, as the saying goes, in order to preach and work to pay the bills. And Amos is obviously not a prophet for the money. I'm not sure if anyone gave him money for his prophecy, but whether he got any money from it or not, he did it because God called him to do it. And anyway, the point is that preaching should not be considered a job or a career, a way to get ahead. It should be work for God. It should not be done for the money. Yet, we should be happy to give money to people who devote themselves to the work of teaching God's word. We should want to support that good work. Scripture quotations are from the Lexham English Bible. Copyright 2012, Logos Bible Software. Lexham is a registered trademark of Logos Bible Software.